Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, we're still in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're still talking about the fact that we must live in the light of eternity if we're going to have a fulfilling life on earth. Sometimes people think of eternity as being unconnected with life on earth. That's what happens after I die. Obviously, I want to die and go to heaven, not die and go to hell. So I must trust Jesus in order to go to heaven. I need to get that taken care of, but that doesn't have anything to do with my life on earth, does it? It has everything to do with your life on earth. And when you're talking about how to have a fulfilling life on earth, you have to understand that that is only possible when you are living in the light of eternity, which means that you are taking eternity's values and bringing them down into your life upon earth. And that's the way you're living. That's the way you're thinking. That's the way you are responding to the circumstances of life. You are doing that with eternity's values in view. Did you ever hear that song? With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, may I live each day for Jesus with eternity's values in view. That's it. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is teaching. That's what Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, who lived in Jerusalem, who explored all of the different avenues of life that people explore in order to try to find fulfillment in life. And he's telling us what his explorations, what his investigations uncovered. And here it is. Here it is, that living for things on earth never satisfies, but if you will live for God and for eternity, that's the way to have a satisfying and fulfilling life upon the earth. And that's the only way. Well, thank you for joining me on this Thursday, August 6th. Thank you for your financial gifts that support and maintain this ministry on this station. Live in the light of eternity. The last part of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 through 22. And there are four components in what that means to live in the light of eternity. The first one we've already examined. It is accept life on earth as a gift from God, verses 12 and 13. The second one is the one we're going to now, which is accept the circumstances of life as appointments of God, verses 14 and 15. Beyond that, we're going to see, number three, that we need to accept the injustices of life, the injustices of life, as the domain of God. That's verses 16 and 17. And finally, accept the trials of life as the instructors of God, which is verses 18 through 21. And then the final verse of the chapter is a summary of these things. So the first one we have covered now. Accept life on earth is a gift from God. God gives us life. And when we recognize that the life we have, and the circumstances of our lives, all of the details of our lives, it's from God. And we need to be content with the life that God has ordained for me. And you need to be content with the life that God has ordained for you. You know, preachers have the same problem that everybody has. I know an awful lot of pastors, preachers, who are continually discontent because they're always looking at another pastor and saying, he's pastoring a bigger church than I am. Why doesn't God give me a church like that? I'm not content with my church, the one that God has given to me, the one where God has placed me. I'm not content with that. I want a bigger one, a better one, a richer one, a whatever, more influential one. And I know pastors who are climbing the ecclesiastical ladder, just like people in the business world are climbing the corporate ladder, always trying to get up another rung. And you see this sometimes as men just continually are changing churches. And I'm not saying that God never calls anyone away from one church to another church. Of course he does. It would be absolutely asinine for me to say that God never does that. But I do recognize that within a lot of pastors there is this same sense of discontentment with God's appointments, and I'm not happy where I am because I see somebody else that looks to me like they've got it better than I do, and I want what they've got. So here we go. It's not just in the house we live in, the automobile we drive, and the clothes we wear, and the money we have in our retirement account, and all of these other things that we can look at and see somebody else who has it better, and we can covet and envy and desire what they have and be discontent with what we have. But it can even invade the realm of pastoral work. And we see this in churches. We see this a lot, particularly in denominations, where the denominational machinery tends to encourage this kind of thing, of trying to climb the denominational ladder and keep getting up to a bigger church, a better church, and so forth. We've got to learn to be content with the life that God has ordained for you. If God wants you someplace else, he'll place you someplace else. But let him do it. Don't you be trying to force the issue. Don't you be trying to pry open the door that God hasn't opened. Now that opens up a whole realm of exploration. How do you know when God is opening a door and so forth and so on? And I don't really want to get into that right now, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what happens when God just opens a door. You weren't really expecting it. You weren't looking for it. And it's almost like the door opens and something pushes you through it. And that bang, you've gone through it almost before you knew it happened. And it can't be explained any other way except by God. I could give you several examples like that in my own life, which I won't do right now. But probably you've had the same thing happen to you. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't expecting it. But all of a sudden, bang, the door opened, and it's almost like an invisible force just pulled me right through that door. I couldn't not go through that door because God wanted me to go through that door. And so it was his appointment. And when it happens like that, then you can be certain that it is God's appointment. You don't have to wonder, did I force the issue? I was talking to someone, been several months ago now, and they had a disappointing experience in their life. I won't tell you the details. And they were saying, I'm sure that happened because I tried to force an issue and I should have been content with what God had for me. Well, in that particular situation, I don't know that I would have evaluated it the same way, but it is possible that that's what happened. I don't really think so, but I'm not God. I don't know the heart. I don't know the circumstances. But at least that person was willing to acknowledge that that might be it, that he and his wife wanted something that they didn't have. And is it possible, this is what they were considering, is it possible that our strong desire for this thing overcame our willingness to submit to God and wait on him, and now we are experiencing difficulties because of it? Well, if you're not sure that God opened that door and pulled you through it, then maybe that's exactly what happened. I will tell you about a pastor friend of mine years ago who came to me for advice, and a church in another state, much larger church, had extended to him a call, and he wanted me to tell him whether I thought he should accept it or not. And here was my advice to him. He had come here from another state, and I said, "Are you certain that God brought you here?" "Absolutely. No question in my mind. God moved me from this other state here. It was God who did it. I'm here because I know in my heart of hearts, I know 100% with certainty that God brought me here." "Okay, good. Now, this church in another state that is calling you, extending a call to you, are you certain that God wants you there?" "Nope, I'm not certain, because if I was, I wouldn't be asking you." "Well," I said, "my advice is wait until you're certain. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you the mind of God. I can't tell you what God has in store for you. But I can say, if you're not sure, then it would be wise to hold off." And he said, "Thank you. That's exactly the advice I needed." And he notified those people and said, "I'm sorry, but I can't come. I just don't have peace to accept the invitation. Thank you for considering me." 1 year later, that same church got back in touch with him and said, "We have been looking for another person all of this time. We still haven't found the person. We are just 100% convinced that you are the one that God wants here. We just cannot get away from that sentiment that it's that God wants you here. Will you reconsider?" At that point, my friend said, "Yes, I'll come." He didn't even ask me that time. Why not? Because he didn't need to. He knew that that was so unusual, that the opportunity was still open. The door was open. And this is a good reminder. If God opens a door, and the Bible tells us this, if God opens a door, no man can shut it. And if God shuts a door, no man can open it. And here was an unusual situation where, under normal circumstances, that opportunity would have been filled by somebody else. That door would have been closed. But here it is a whole year later, and they desperately needed somebody, and it was an attractive situation, and I'm sure that there were hundreds of people that would have loved to have had that opportunity. But they were seeking the mind of God, and they were just certain that God was not showing them anybody else who needed to fill that opportunity except my friend. And when that second invitation came a year later, he recognized that as being so utterly unusual that it must be God's appointment. And he said, "Thank you. I'll be happy to come. How soon do you want me there?" And he put his house on the market, and he was on the way before you could say Jack Rabbit. He knew that that was God's appointment for him. Now, folks, I know we've gotten into another area, in this area of discerning the will of God. That's a very challenging subject. But it ties in with what we're talking about here, and that is being content with the life that God has ordained for you. If God put you where you are, then be content with it. If God wants you someplace else, He'll move you. If God put you in the job you've got now, be content. If God wants you someplace else, He'll make that clear. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.